wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. The Bible's victory becomes a defeat. In years past, modernism waged a battle against the Bible as being the very Word of God. But instead of stamping out the Bible, great fundamental preachers championed the divine book. Then there sprang up Bible-believing churches and programs of Bible reading, so people boasted of their many trips through the Holy Bible. Bible schools and conventions produced Bible lecturers who counted themselves up on the Bible with their fine arguments. Then there was invented a modern easy way to get people saved. It only takes a few minutes, a memorized set of steps, and from a testament they have a verse to read for each step. They ask a few questions, receive some affirmative answers, and then they turn to John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Then they say, see, you believe his word, that is the Bible, and God says, you now have everlasting life. You have passed from death unto life, just as the verse says. Now remember, the Bible is all we have to go by. If any ask you about being saved, show them the verse and tell them of your claim, because the Bible says so. Thus they go out and make converts, get them to their Bible-believing church, baptize them as members, and teach them to go out and get more. Did ever anything look like such a victory for the Bible? But first, the devil is not disturbed by their victory. And second, the Lord Jesus denounces it. And third, the Holy Spirit is grieved, so he moves some servants of his to sound the alarm. But even then, Satan smiles and he says, those Bible people will not hear them, but count the false prophets, because they expose their easy believism maneuvers. So the devil turns seeming victory into defeat. The Holy Spirit is grieved, because he, being God, they have ignored, and put a book, lo, it be his book, as a substitute for God himself, with no experience of conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit, and no repentance toward God, and with no voluntary coming to Christ on their own, and no calling on him as their Lord to save them, yet claiming that they are saved. They ignore the Holy Spirit by teaching that the Bible is all we have to go by, when the Holy Spirit himself is God's seal that one is a real child of God. What an insult to the one whose sovereign work it is, as the Lord of the harvest, to gather out of all nations a people for our Lord Jesus. And he alone can put them into the true church, the body of Christ. With their Bible alone and their baptized church members, they have kicked out the Holy Spirit of God. Is it not time for such to examine themselves? And our Lord Jesus, foreseeing this wrong use of his words in John 5:24, at once added verse 25, saying, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Who? The dead. Yes. One must first confess himself as being dead in trespasses and in sins, in real repentance, and then hear the voice of the Son of God, not just read a verse, for faith cometh by hearing, not by reading. As that repentant soul calls on the Lord Jesus, the Son of God responds with his own voice. It is when the written word becomes a spoken voice that one has that personal experience of coming to Christ and becoming one of his own, to be known in the heart and manifest in the life as one who has truly passed from death unto life. Then our Lord denounces that book salvation in that very chapter, saying, the translators omitted the first word of verse 39. It should read, ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. how plain he made it, that book salvation, though it be the very Holy Scriptures, becomes a deception if it stops short of a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, a real person-to-person, a heart-to-heart, a voice-to-voice transaction of the Savior and the sinner all alone. And to further warn deceived souls, our Lord Jesus told us what eternal life really was, saying, "This is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." There is only one way a man can know God. He must come to God in real repentance, seeking his mercy. And how can one know Jesus Christ? Jesus, the Savior from sin, and Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever, only as one surrenders to Jesus as his Lord, and in faith relies on him alone for salvation. And this voluntarily he does, as his confessed decision before God and men. Thus he has a personal acquaintance with Jesus Christ as his own Lord and Savior. What a difference this is to just reading a Bible verse and claiming to have everlasting life. And our Lord forewarned of those to whom he must confess, "I never knew you," even though they declared what wonderful miracles they did in his name. While some are really saved despite the modern methods of the book salvationists, yet a multitude have been deceived to thinking they are ready to meet God. I appeal to you, my brethren, all hear this aged man of God. Don't wait until you see the crowds of your book converts at that judgment to hear their final verdict, "I never knew you. Depart from me," for you to realize how you are deceiving precious eternal souls. It was 50 years ago I saw this evil as it really was. I helped a preacher in his meetings. With his altar calls and begging, he got hands and members. Finally, I asked him, "Russell, I have observed your methods. Please show me one, just one, of such converts that shows he has been born again." He offered not one. Then and there, the Holy Spirit taught me to shun such pressure methods and false claims. That is why in all my ministry, I show the sinner the way to get right with God and leave him with his voluntary choice and decision alone with God. Note number one, we do thank God for any who have been really saved in the midst of all this exalting a book above the God who wrote the book. This is not a surprise, for souls have been saved when infidels scorn Jesus Christ the Lord. The Holy Spirit will do his work of regeneration wherever he finds a truly repentant soul who in desperate distress calls on the Lord Jesus to save him, regardless of all the surrounding evils. Note number two, now you see how the messages the Holy Spirit has given me to deliver are so different. They insist on personal repentance toward God because of one's own sins, and a voluntary coming to Jesus Christ, calling on him for salvation, and surrendering to him as Lord. This must be the person's own experience with God, the living and true God. And if sincere and real in the heart, it is witnessed to by the Holy Spirit regenerating and indwelling that one as a real child of God, born of God. Note number three, the Holy Spirit marvelously gave the Old Testament scriptures, and then, centuries later, the New Testament. Were he to now give a last days testament, who would fight it most? The modernist? No. The infidels? No. The fundamentalist? Yes. Isn't it good our fundamentalists did not organize in the first century? They would have denounced Paul and John and Luke and Matthew as just man's writings as they fought for the Old Testament alone in their mistaken zeal. I unflinchingly believe in the great fundamental doctrines of the Bible and love that divine book as dearly as a human could. But I will not set at naught or limit the operations of God the Holy Spirit, even though it be presented in a zeal for his book. God forbid that I should ever fence in the Holy Spirit or dare to chart the course that he must go, even though I deck it with Bible verses. I seek to preach whatever he gives me to preach as his message. I seek to do whatever he commands me without any questions or delay. Would I dare to demand that he must give me chapter and verse for what he orders? God forbid. Note number four. And my brethren insisted a preacher must give chapter and verse for his preaching, or it is to be regarded as false. If so, then there's no more need of preachers, just have Bible readers. But the Spirit of God commands, preach the word. Did the apostles just quote the Old Testament scriptures? No, they quoted and then preached the word, adding to it what they had no chapter and verse to support. And so the Holy Spirit leads me to preach the word, to visualize the Bible record by filling in the account in a practical manner that is in harmony with the whole Bible. To illustrate, I see Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus approach Calvary. Joseph hands the centurion the governor's order to deliver the body of Jesus to him. The centurion agrees. The two men approach the cross and lay hold of it, but it's too heavy for them. And if they did get it up from its socket, they could not balance it to let it down tenderly with the body of their Lord. Up jumps a big husky countryman, Simon the Cyrenian, and he says, "Let me help you. I carried that cross here for Jesus." And then a certain young man, now clothed. He had followed Jesus when all others forsook him. We will call him John Mark. He says, "I will help you, for I love the Lord Jesus." So those four lift up the cross and let it gently to the ground. They proceed to tenderly take out each thorn one by one. And removing the crown of thorns and seeing his brow so torn, they wrap a napkin about his blessed head. At this point, my chapter and verse brethren reject it all as only my imagination, demanding chapter and verse for the removal of the crown of thorns. In this, the Holy Spirit is enraged, and he moves me with his rebuke as I cry, "Be gone, you chapter and verse resistors of God the Holy Spirit. Do you contend that Jesus still has that crown of thorns on in heaven because there's no chapter and verse for its removal? Does the symbol of man's mockery crown him, or is he really, as the Holy Spirit declares, crowned by God with glory and honor?" I make no apology for what the Holy Spirit gives me to preach as I visualize the Bible truths and apply them to the hearts and lives of men. For this cause, some of my brethren reject my tapes, my tracts, and Bible books, and they label me a blank, blank, blank. I will leave this for them to fill in. But be it so, I have long ago counted the cost of being the bondservant of the Holy Spirit of God to speak his message. I feel so unworthy of being so honored by my God, I will not turn back. Finally, while this was preached for my brethren in Christ, yet I am sure some of their converts will hear it. You have been a process Christian, and you tried earnestly to live up to it. But despite all the bolstering you have received from your converters, yet you know the vital experience you do not have. You have not the Holy Spirit in you. Please do not quit and say, "I tried it once. I know I was sincere, but I'm the same sinner still." After 60 years of experiences in reaching the lost, allow me to help you. First, get alone with God and just open your heart to him. Then speak to him like this: "Thou holy God in heaven, I know thou art the true and living God, and I know thou art interested in me. I have been deceived by others and from my own deceitful heart. Oh God, please lead me in the way for me to get right with thee. I'm in the dark. Please send to me thy light. I long to be a real Christian, a child of thine, not just to claim it, but to be it. I want to know thy Son, Jesus Christ, as my own Lord and Savior, so I will love him and live for him." Then, what will happen? God forbid that I should prescribe what my God will do. But that cry will put the whole Godhead into action. First, the Father will draw you, so the Lord Jesus will become the altogether lovely one and the all-sufficient Savior for you. You will just long to know his love and that you are one with him forever. Second, the Holy Spirit will make you feel your wicked sinfulness as worthy only of the wrath of God in hellfire. You will feel yourself both helplessly and hopelessly lost. And third, right then, you will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus calling you, "Come now to me. Though your sins are scarlet, I will cleanse you by my precious blood. Come unto me as heavy laden with your sins. I will take your burden and give you rest, rest in your soul. I will seal you with my Holy Spirit as one of my redeemed people, and I will never cast you out." as God now awaits your response. Oh, neighbor, break the silence by crying, Lord Jesus, I come to thee. Take me to be thine own as I receive thee as my own Lord and Savior. From that hour, you will have God's salvation, not as a claim, but as an experience with the living God. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. It is the Holy Spirit's presence that marks the real children of God. Don't settle for less. Just to think, you and I, as children of God, know the God of heaven and earth as our Father, and His Son as our Lord and Savior, and God the Holy Spirit dwells in us to direct our lives and to enable us to live for our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. It is all true, and we are sure of it, but it is so wonderful we have not the capacity to take it all in. And to top it all off, one day we shall be with Christ in heaven to behold His glory forever. Amazing grace. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through His bondservant, David Brinkman.